Let's read from the Word of God again then. I want to invite you to the book of Exodus, please, as we continue our study of these chapters of God's Word. Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to begin at the verse number 1. Again, it's a lengthy chapter, some 36 verses. I'm not going to read it all with you. I would encourage you to do so today at some point, but let's right now commence at verse number 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came onto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto him, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of the Egyptians, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That must have been a very sore thing, a sore accusation for Moses to hear. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against us, against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them. Say, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 15. Amen. Well, let's stand together, please, for a word of prayer. For those at home, those in the car park, do join with us as we seek the Lord for his help right now as we come to consider God's word together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, as we bow here this morning, Lord, what a joy to have the Word of God before us. And we have on the throne a one who loves us, a God who cares. We have one who sits, who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, our mediator and our Savior. And therefore, Lord, we ought not to fear. Indeed, Lord, we ought not to murmur. But Lord, where you lead us, Lord, may we go without a murmur, but with much prayer. Lord, today we bow before Thee, and as You take us into the Word of God, and as You have led us again into this book of Exodus, Lord, teach us this morning. Minister on to our souls, and may we as a people genuinely be changed. Heavenly Father, deliver us from complacency. Deliver us, Lord, from assuming that just everything will be fine and rosy and well when there are genuine threats and dangers all around. So, Lord, today we commit ourselves to Thee. We commit the UK to You. Lord, may this land be revived again. Heavenly Father, even this year, if each of our churches saw 100 people saved between now and December, Lord, it would be a drop in the bucket in this nation, on this land of 1.5 million people. Oh God, we pray, do something great in these days. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bible open at Exodus 16, please keep it open there. We're looking at this chapter this morning. It is a passage that deals with God giving manna from heaven. Now, I want to start off by telling you a little story about a man on his wagon. It was a man who was traveling a considerable distance in his large wagon. And as he traveled, he heard the boards on the wagon making continually a creaking and a grumbling sound. The further they went, the more those boards began to creak. The same way, perhaps, in your hallway upstairs. You go to walk across the hallway at night time, and you waken the whole house because the boards are creaking and murmuring under your footsteps. All the while, the horses pulling this heavy wagon, they worked hard. They worked hard to pull the wagon up the hills and to restrain it from going too fast down the hills. They had to keep their balance going over the difficult terrain, and they had to wear a heavy yoke. And as the man sat there and he observed the horses and he heard the grumbling of the boards behind, he thought to himself, you know, this reminds me and human beings, because it's often those who do the least that grumble the most. There were the horses pulling and working without a murmur, but the boards that were just lying there grumbled the entire journey. And that's often the case. Those who do the least are those who murmur the most. And that's exactly what you have here in Exodus 16, because the people of God, Israel, they were murmuring. They were murmuring. When all they had to do was walk and trust in God. That's all they had to do. The Lord said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt into the promised land. Just keep walking as I lead you. The cloud was there by day. The fire was there by night. That's all they had to do. Yet they were grumbling. On the other side, you have Moses. And you have Aaron here. And Moses and Aaron were equally hungry, equally thirsty, but they're not grumbling. Yet these are the two men that bore the burden of leading the people. Here's the men that bore the burden of standing before Pharaoh, but they're not grumbling. They're praying. Moses particularly was praying and looking to God for help. And in spite of the people's murmurings, God's provided them with food. And so this morning I want to speak on God's mercy toward murmurers. God's mercy toward murmurers. If you read with me, as we consider firstly, a lesson not learnt, a lesson not learnt. Read verse 1 with me. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came onto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, the whole congregation, God's word says, of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, last week, we saw the people of Israel murmuring because of lack of water. And let's be honest, that's a very real problem. You need water to live. The difficulty here in chapter 15, where we were last week, was how they dealt with the problem. Yes, it was a very real problem, no water, but it was how they dealt with it. They murmured. All they had to do was pray. That's all they had to do. Because you see, as we saw last week, God had already prepared the answer. The tree to cure the water was already there. Not only that, they were about to leave that place called Marah and go to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. And that's important because, remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel. A well of water for each tribe. Ample supply. The Lord wasn't going to let them thirst to death in the wilderness. The Lord had the answer. All they had to do was ask. This week, then, in chapter 16, you would have expected the people of Israel to have learnt from that lesson. But not so. Because here they are murmuring once again, this time, over food. And again, it's a very real problem. You need food to live. But it's how they dealt with it. They're grumbling. They are complaining. They completely feel in this test again. They completely feel to respond appropriately to the problem. Now, I want you to note here in verse number 1, and they took their journey from Elim. They have just left Elim. And Elim was a place where there was plenty of water and plenty of cover. They've only left. And they would have left with their water bottles, their water skins filled to the neck for their journey. And that should have shown them God supplied our every need. And here we have with an abundance of water, and we're going into the wilderness with all that we need. God provided our need. They've only left. And already they grumble. In fact, you find there in verse number 1, it says, they left Elim. And Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. On the 15th day of the second month. So it's not like they have been wandering in the wilderness for years. They haven't even been wandering for months. They have barely been wandering for a few weeks. Approximately 45 days. At the very most, they have been wandering. When they left Egypt, within 3 days, they were in Marah, and so they spent approximately 37 or 40 days in Marah and in Elim, where there was plenty of water. All that they needed was there, and they've just left, and a couple of days later, murmuring because there's no food. Murmuring because there's no food. It's also important to notice here, men and women, that although in verse 2 they murmur for lack of food, it's important to understand the people aren't starving. It was the same last week. When they were murmuring for lack of water, it wasn't because they didn't have any water. It was only because these people foresaw that if we go much further, we're going to run out of water. If we go much further, we're going to run out of food. The problem wasn't they were thirsty. The problem wasn't they were starving. The problem was they foresaw what could actually happen. And so they're only complaining over potential problems. They're looking at dark clouds in the future. Dark clouds which genuinely weren't there. Dark clouds that they would never have to go through. And all the while they worry about these potential problems, ignoring the fact that there's a good God in heaven who has done so much for them. The people were fretting about the future. They weren't hungry. They weren't thirsty. They're fretting about the future. And if we had time, we could go this morning to Psalm 37. Where it tells us to fret not, Instead of fret, you trust in the Lord. You depend upon the Lord. You rest in the Lord. Instead of fretting about the future, give thanks for what you have and trust in God to see you through. These people were fretting, and they were living as if the problem currently existed. They were living as if they had no food for their next meal, and they began to panic, and they began to murmur, because God's not delivering them. God's not giving them food, but they're worrying, and they're complaining and murmuring about a problem that doesn't even exist. The Lord doesn't even have the opportunity to provide for them because hunger hasn't even come to them yet. How often, men and women, are we like that? We fret, we worry, we panic, and there's no problem even there. It's only our pessimistic foresight of the future. Men and women, we learn from chapter 16 here that murmuring dies hard. It really does. And before you or I criticize Israel, let me just ask you, how have you done in the past week? Because exactly 7 days ago, we dealt with chapter 15, we dealt with the subject of murmuring. I'm just wondering, were you murmuring last week? Were there problems that were weighing upon your heart and mind that you see in the future and you began to have a wee murmur to God or against somebody else? Are we just as bad as the people of Israel here? We all have this, we all struggle from this slowness, men and women, to learn. Old habits die hard, they say. And this is a particularly ugly habit that both Israel and we can easily take on. Unfortunately, it only takes one person to be a murmurer. And murmur is like leaven. And leaven's the whole lump. Because if one person begins to murmur and they continually grumble, they'll affect everybody else around them. That's an absolute fact. You could have a group of individuals going on with God and full of zeal and passion and one grumbler. And if that grumbler keeps bringing before the other group problems, difficulties, negativity, everybody will begin to take a little bit of the leaven as they continue on the journey. And I want to caution this morning. It's very unkind to give poison to other people. And dear murmurer, when you murmur, when you complain to others, it's like giving them poison. It will not help your situation. It will not help the person you're murmuring to, but they will become every bit as miserable as you are with your murmuring. We need to be cautious here. You see, Moses here wasn't murmuring. What did he do? He was too busy praying. And you know what, men and women? There's no point in murmuring about a problem before you even pray about it. If you see a difficulty, or if you are in a difficulty, there is no sense whatsoever in going and murmuring to someone before you even pray. Now, we take our burdens to the Lord, and we leave them there. And when you genuinely do that, you'll find you'll not need to murmur. Men and women, there is no doubt about it. Those who murmur show that they're poor in prayer. Because going to prayer deals with murmuring. And so if you're murmuring, I would say to you, it's because you've issues in your prayer life. That's the reality. Now go to verse 3 here of our text. Verse 3, and the children of Israel, so they have been murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And here's what they were saying. Believe it or not, verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, unto Moses and Aaron, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Men and women, I find that very hard to believe. The Israelites were slaves. The only usefulness that the Egyptians saw in the Israelites was their service, was them doing the Egyptian dirty work for them. That's the only purpose they had. That's why they allowed them to live. So I find it very hard to believe that Pharaoh would have been loading them with flesh pots, loading them with dainties and an abundance of food. I find that very hard to believe, considering at Moses' birth, the same Egyptians were killing their firstborn sons. So the thought of feasting, I would imagine, is not looking back with rose-tinted glasses. These people are just telling lies to bolster their murmurings. That's all they're doing. Just lying to strengthen their position. When a murmurer has to lie to give strength to their murmurings, I'm telling you now, you stay well clear of them. You stay well clear. That's not of God. When someone resorts to that, it's pure carnality. And I have to say, the murmurer needs to be pitied this morning. Pitied and prayed for. Because some of these people no doubt knew the Lord. That's a fact. Murmurers can be amongst God's people, but their life will be miserable because of their murmurings, because of their fixating upon potential problems. And you'll notice here, these people don't murmur over spiritual matters. They're always murmuring over physical issues, food, their water, their drink, fleshly appetites. Because bear in mind, they're not thirsty, they're not hungry, they're not starving. They're murmuring over their fleshly appetites. Not interested in spiritual matters. You see, like I said, murmuring is a carnal thing. It's a carnal thing. And you'll also see here the absolute lack of wisdom. The murmurer has no ability to deal with problems. Look at verse 3. Here was the murmurer's moment of great enlightenment. Here's their answer to the problems. Here's their wisdom now. Verse 3. And the children of Israel, which were murmuring, said unto Moses, said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. That's their answer. That's their brainwave. That's their way forward. It would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. It wasn't long before this same group were saying, let's make ourselves a new leader and let's go back to Egypt. That's the murmurer's approach to dealing with the problem. Men and women, murmuring is something we ought to be very careful of and pray against, that we're not guilty of it and that we get victory over it. There is a cure for murmuring, and it is acknowledging God's sovereignty. These people were where they were meant to be in the will of God. It wasn't particularly pleasant. There were many difficult circumstances, but they were there by the sovereignty of God, and God was going to take care of them in the wilderness. But they ignored God's sovereignty. Also a cure for murmuring is to remember what we actually deserve. These people deserve to die in Egypt under the wrath of God, but they didn't. God delivered them. And we deserve hell. But God has kept us where we are, and we ought to count our blessings. So sovereignty. Remember God's sovereignty. Remember what we deserve. And remember God's blessings, rather than fixating upon our fears and potential problems that aren't real today. In spite, men and women, of all this murmuring, still the Lord blessed them. Go to verse 12. Verses 4 right down to 15 deal with God giving them manna. But we'll just read verse 12, and it says here, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." In spite of their murmuring, God gave them bread. The Lord would have been perfectly just. Instead of raining manna, he would have rained fire from heaven. The Lord could have rained judgment from the clouds above. But we have a merciful, gracious God. And even when they feel miserably in this test, God gives them bread and he gives them flesh. What a gracious and good God we have, men and women. But the people should have prayed. They should have prayed. So it was a lesson they didn't learn. Secondly here, in verse 16 onwards, we see the instructions that they were to obey. Verse 16, the Lord, through Moses, lays down exactly how they are to gather the manna and how they are to keep the manna and how they are to, refrain from gathering the manna. But they disobeyed. Read verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent." So there's clear instruction here about how much they should gather, and what they would gather would be sufficient for them. An omer, it says there, an omer for every man. An omer is a dry measurement. For example, liters, gallons is for wet measurement, for liquids. But an omer is like grams or kilograms. It's like a cookbook. You know what a cookbook is. It's one of those things. You might see it online, or you see it advertised, and you go out and you buy it. And you think, when I buy this cookbook, it's going to revolutionize my cooking. It's going to change my diet. And here's what happens, and you know this is true. We get the cookbook, and we look at a few photos. We flick through. We might even get through 50% of the book looking at the photos. And then we put it on the shelf. And we think, well, next week, next month, I'm going to use that cookbook. And I'll cook one meal out of that every week. And it sits there. And then you get more cookbooks, and you keep filling that shelf with cookbooks, and before you know it, they go in the ruspius, and that's where they stay, taking up room, and your husband's back is sore because he's carrying cookbooks. It almost sounds like I'm speaking from experience here, doesn't it? Well, in those cookbooks, it will always give you measurements. Isn't that right? Measurements on how much you have to put in to make the meal. And sometimes it will use grams and kilograms. Well, that's what's happening here. This is essentially God's cookbook for Israel. Here's the manna, and you're to gather an omer. And an omer is approximately, and maybe this is a little bit generous, but it's approximately 1.5 kilograms. Approximately. So I'm told. That's a considerable amount. They were to go out and to gather the appropriate amount for themselves. But here's the problem. Go to verse 20. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Now, Moses told them not only how much to gather, but how long they should keep it. Some gathered more. Some gathered less, verse 18, but they all had sufficient. They had no lack. But the Lord said through Moses, don't keep it overnight. Eat what you have and be done with it. Throw out what's left. So the Lord provided it, and the Lord instructed on how to use it. Here's the problem. There were a few people who didn't believe. Didn't trust in God. Yes, the Lord, as he has said, rained down manna. And we're told to only gather enough and not keep it overnight. But some of them obviously thought, well, what if God doesn't keep his word? We'll keep maybe a quarter of the manna, and we'll put it in a nice dry place in the corner of our tent, and just in case it doesn't come tomorrow, we'll have a wee pile here for a wee emergency, a wee insurance fund in the background here. The next day, they had woken up, and there was the manna outside, as God said, and that continued year after year. But that wee pile that they kept in their tent in disobedience to God, by the way, it is wise to make precautions, and it is wise to ensure things, whatever the case may be. Absolutely, that's wise. But it's never wise to disobey God. And that's what they did. And so the blessing, now note this, the blessing that God gave them because they abused it was filled with worms the next day. And I want you to see something there. The Lord may well give you a blessing, but if you abuse God's blessing, it will be filled with worms. If you disobey God with the blessing, he'll curse the blessing. How embarrassing, you know, it would have been for any of these Israelites the next morning to have to take out their big pile of manna, which was full of worms, and dump it outside. Everybody would look as they walked by, and they would think, well, there's Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Well, there would have been no Mr. and Mrs. Jones in Israel, I can assure you, but you know what I mean. There's a family, and look at them, they're disobeying. They didn't hearken unto God's word. It's an embarrassing thing, you know, when we disobey the Lord, our sins will always find us out. But you know, if you turn to the book of Numbers for a moment here, Numbers 11, let's go there for a moment. Because not only did the people not hearken to the Lord after they had complained, and after the Lord had graciously given them food, they disobeyed, and they even complained about the blessing God gave them. Numbers 11 and the verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna for our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of debellium, white. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, you have a further description there of manna. We have the color of it, and we have the taste of it. And you read those verses and you think, well, actually, this manna sounds rather nice, actually. You'd like to try it. We're told the additional details because in verse 6, the people are murmuring about it. Because they said in verse 6, but now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing but this old manna. We're fed up with it. Day after day, we have this little gathering of white balls, pure and perfect outside, with a beautiful taste, like honeycomb, like oil, and we hate it. How ungrateful. How ungrateful they were of the blessing. You know, the Lord could have rained them something sour, something disgusting. He could have said, you have to go eat the insects. But no, the Lord gave them the most beautiful angels' food from heaven. And still they murmur. Men and women, the Lord judged them on that occasion for their murmuring and for their ungratefulness. But we ought to be cautious. Let's cut murmuring down in the bud and proceed no further. So even though there was much murmuring and much complaining, still the Lord blessed them. And he gave them instruction how to do it, but they even failed there. But thirdly, I want to show you in closing the portrait of Christ. Because that's what you have here. In spite of all their sin and murmurings, the Lord gave them that which they didn't deserve. And if we go back to Exodus 16, also Numbers 11, which we read a moment ago there, but These chapters really deal with God's provision to meet a real need. They are. They would be in need of food, and the Lord gave them food month on month, and that was a blessing indeed. But also, this manna is undoubtedly, unquestionably a picture of Christ. Undoubtedly. Because what you have here is God's provision for his people. And what is Christ to us? He is our provision. Now think about it here just for a moment in closing. Where did the manna come from? It came from heaven. As did Christ. God, the Son, came from heaven for our deliverance and for our good. He came to meet our need. And furthermore, if you read Exodus 16 and the verse number 3, here were a people that would have been helpless and would have died if God didn't provide for them. So here is God's help for a dying people. Like I said, at this point, they were not starving, but if it would have continued, well, they would have starved. But God was there to provide for them, as is Christ. He is the helper of a dying people. And furthermore, these people deserve the wrath of God. They deserve judgment and fire from God. But instead, the Lord sent the bread of life. You and I, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's fury. We deserve hell today. But instead of that, God has given us his Son. No wonder the Lord described himself as the bread of life. Also, a detailed examination of those chapters will show you that the manna was very small. It was tiny, insignificant in the eyes of men. And doesn't that remind us of the humiliation of Jesus Christ? We read of it there in Philippians 2, where the Lord humbled himself. Insignificant in the eyes of men, yet it was sufficient for their deliverance and for ours. Its color was white, perfectly pure. You could look at the manna and see that it was spotless. You didn't have to examine it. It was clear. It was pure. It was good. And there was no lack. Everything that God's people needed in the wilderness, their hunger was perfectly supplied with angels. Their hunger was perfectly met with angels' food. But can I say one thing in caution here? The people could have refrained from going out. They could have said, there's the manna, and it's there in the morning time, and, well, I'm just having a nice time in my tent here. I'm just going to do other things. I'll get the manna later on. Well, they would go out later on and find the manna was gone. It was too late. And I would caution you in regards to Christ, because God has provided Christ, our Savior. But if you delay, if you say, I'm too busy with my career, I'm too busy with whatever you want to put in there for Christ right now, I want to caution you, it could be too late when you decide to go out and get the manna. So you take of Christ. This is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. Do not be so bold and so foolish as to think that you can go and get saved some other day. You don't know that. Because the manna will go. The day of grace will end. And your opportunity could well be gone soon. So come and take Christ while he is offered. In closing then, let's not be like those boards and the old boy's wagon, grumbling and complaining the whole way on the journey. But like those horses, we labor on, up the hills, down the hills, bearing our yoke and doing it with gladness, because God has sent his Son to redeem us, and he will see us home to glory. May the Lord bless this passage of God's word. Amen and amen.